Hey everyone, if you're interested in becoming a personal trainer and learning about that process, please stay tuned. Hi, I'm Kiki.
And I'm Kemi.
And you're listening to
Your Advisors Will See You Now, a podcast that will help you to figure out all of your options for life after high school.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Your Advisors Will See You Now. We are in one of our career chats today, and if you are new or haven't been here in a long time, our career chat series, we are just interviewing people in different careers. We've interviewed people in business, communications, people in the healthcare field, people in trades. So today we're interviewing a personal trainer, and she happens to be my personal trainer. So Megan, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, it's so awesome. We'll get into a little bit more about why Megan's my trainer and what she does, but I'm going to read her bio and share something else, but we'll get started in a second. So Megan Tovar is a certified personal trainer and nutritionist specializing in helping women with arthritis, chronic joint pain, reach their full potential through her Get Fit with Arthritis program. And I'll share just quickly too. So I have an autoimmune disease. I have arthritis that I was diagnosed a couple of years ago. And I just found Megan through Instagram, and it's been a huge blessing. She's helped me out a whole lot. And today is a career chat, so we'll get to what Megan does in a second. But she's also been a huge part of my wellness journey over the past year. So like I mentioned in her bio, Megan specializes in helping people with chronic pain, arthritis, because keeping our bodies healthy and strong contributes to our quality of life. So with my own journey of arthritis, I can sometimes deal with brain fog and fatigue, and just feeling tired sometimes. It's not fun. We want to have energy. So Megan has helped me with strength training, tips for better sleep, and eating better, which makes me feel better throughout the day. And I've struggled with consistent energy. Megan and I talk about this a lot over the years. And I'm trying to positively change my habits. But it's helped me a lot just getting a consistent workout routine, eating better. Something else that's helped me too is with my energy is a product called Magic Mind. So Magic Mind is the world's first productivity drink with all natural ingredients such as matcha, ashwagandha, and lion's mane mushroom. I don't drink coffee. I never have. It gives me the jitters. So I try to stay away from anything like coffee or energy drinks. But matcha has caffeine that takes longer to release, so you don't get that instant hit that you do from regular caffeine. So Magic Mind has noticeably helped me with increased focus and energy. I've been taking it for a week now, and I've noticed a huge difference at work with focus, and I've especially noticed I don't have that midday crash. So if you're like me, after you eat, you feel like you're ready to go home, take a nap. I haven't had that this whole last week. I've just felt really energized throughout the day, and I even noticed I did a workout in the middle of the day last week, and I even noticed that I felt really focused and energized through the workout. So if you're like me and you're tired of being tired, I recommend that you try Magic Mind. You can get it at magicmind.com/youradvisors with the code WSYN20. You can get up to 56% off your first subscription or 20% off your one-time purchase. So I know everyone says that I wouldn't be sharing this if I didn't stand by it, but this is something that I actually have been trying for several days. I do stand by it. It's really simple. I mean, when I try, it's healthy, you know, something simple. And it's not super expensive either, but we're giving you this discount code. So if you want to try Magic Mind, if you want to have a new morning routine and be energized throughout the day, again, it's magicmind.com/youradvisors. And with the code WSYN20, you can get up to 56% off your first subscription or 20% off your one-time purchase. And let us know if you try it. We'd love to hear what you think about it. They're a really great company. I've been able to interact with their people, their staff, and everyone's been really nice so far. So check it out. But Megan, we're going to get to you now. So thanks again for being on here. We appreciate it really. So, and I'll just say, if you're listening, Kemi's not here today. Megan, Kemi, and I are in three different time zones, and we just wanted to get Megan on here. So it's just me today. So Megan, can you tell us a little bit about your background, like education background for us, please?
Yes, Definitely. Well, first of all, it's awesome that you are feeling so much more energized.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, I know a lot of people deal with low energy, mm-hmm. especially with the clientele that I work with.
Yeah.
So I would say my journey to being a personal trainer was a little bit different than some, because I view myself not only as a personal trainer, I'm kind of like an overall fitness coach when it comes to like helping people with chronic joint pain and chronic illnesses. But when I was in high school and I started my own fitness journey, that's when I actually like knew that I wanted to do something in either the fitness or even the physical therapy field. Mm-hmm. And when I job shadowed a physical therapy office, I decided that was not something I wanted to do. I would rather help people reach their fitness goals rather than, you know, doing all of the PT stuff. Mm-hmm. So I started studying for my certification to become a personal trainer through NASM. And I also went to college for about 3 semesters before I jumped into a full-time personal training job. And that was a big leap for me because I was in a place where I either kind of, you know, had to figure out a way to pay for the rest of my education, or I could just jump into the job that I wanted and also, you know, obtain my certification and get CEUs and all of that stuff. So I did choose to jump into that full-time job, which was a huge blessing because that is where I learned so, so much. And that's pretty much the catalyst of what got me to where I am now, where I'm an online fitness coach and I kind of started my own business and everything. So since then, I've gotten certifications in nutrition. One of them is from NASM, and then another one is from a company called Precision Nutrition.
Yeah.
And those have helped immensely because I feel like nutrition is such a big part of fitness.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So one of the biggest things that we talk about here in the podcast is getting to your career goals or education or academic goals with the least amount of debt possible. And sometimes we've talked about, yeah, you don't even need to have a college degree. So you, like, that's perfect example right there. You said you started college and you saw that it wasn't for you. Can I ask, what were you going to college for?
I was going for exercise science. So okay. I was going to college for the career that I jumped into. Mm-hmm. So that's why it made sense for me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But again, you're perfect proof that you don't have to have a college degree to get to your career. And that's something we talk about too. You know, some students are like, I want to be, just use an example, they want to be a mechanic. And there's plenty of apprenticeship programs that students can go through. And yeah, I'm glad you shared that too. So that people can see, like, you know, this is one career that you don't have to get a degree, because some people go to school for a long time, spend a lot of money, and don't use their degree at all. So I'm sure your route was probably expensive, but it was worth it because it, you know, got you right into what you want to do. So thank you for sharing that, because I hope our listeners are hearing, yeah, there's careers out there, and we say it, but we're showing you now there's careers out there that don't require a college degree, don't require you spending a whole lot of money on a degree that you may not even use, because that might be a lot of you. And I went to school for exercise science. That's what I started out with. And I was like, nah, let me not do this. But changed degrees and didn't do enough research to actually see what else was out there. So I don't call it useless, but maybe it's a little bit, it was a hasty decision, I'll say that. But with the certifications, I know there's a lot of different ones out there. I've heard of NASM before. How how would someone like go about choosing a certification to get their personal training certification?
So there are a lot of different what are they called? Organizations, I guess, that you could go through in order to get a certification. I chose NASM, which is the National Academy of Sports Medicine, because they are one of the most accredited program or organizations out there. That seemed to, I mean, everything that they kind of preach and stand behind was aligned with what I wanted out of getting my certification. But there are other ones too. Like I have friends who have gotten theirs from ISSA or ACSM. But the thing is like while I do not regret my college experience, I think the classes that I did take while I was there helped so much in being able to get my certification.
Yeah.
Even if you do, you know, get a bachelor's degree in like exercise science, you still have to get certified, like, as a personal trainer even after that. So there are a lot of different ones, I guess. It's like, I can't remember all of them. They're like ACE, ACSM, ISSA, NASM. I think those are like the bigger ones right now.
Okay. Very cool. And so you mentioned like the continuing education, things like that. So once you, can you talk about the certification like process, like what the, I'm assuming it's like a course, and then how you continue to learn so that you could start training clients?
Yes. So with NASM, you have to get a certain amount of CEUs, which is like continuing education units, every 2 years after, in order to maintain your personal training certification. And they have an entire list of different things that you can do to maintain that certification. So it's kind of nice to be able to see where you can really kind of dive in and find things that are like, once you kind of get a niche solidified, then you can find things that are more geared toward that niche. That makes sense.
And I can't talk. How long have you been training clients, or how long have you been certified to train clients?
Since 2018.
Okay, very cool. That's a long time. She's awesome, guys. Yeah. Like, I'm telling you, she's helped me a lot. So we'll let Megan toot her horn later. Shout out her. All the stuff later. Can you share what's your day to day like? I know you have a pretty big clientele, and you do you I know you do online of course, because that's what I do with you. Do you do in person training as well?
I don't anymore.
Okay.
I found that it was a lot easier to, I mean, business wise, it is easier to scale when you are, you know, working online with clients. But at the same time, it, for me, for the people that I want to work with, it is so much easier to reach more people, like, for example, with arthritis online than it is in person, because a lot of people don't necessarily just, you know, talk about their arthritis, like at the gas station or at the gym or whatever it is. So that's why I switched to online. But I guess my whole day to day is very different every day. Some days are very, very busy, where it's like checking in with clients. If I have like video calls, how many of those do I have? And that can range from like client calls to onboarding calls to like discovery calls. So it's just a whole mix of everything. And then, you know, obviously like building out programs, and then building content, and then business planning. So it's very much, it varies every single day, which is kind of nice, because now that I have like my own business, I'm able to schedule things how I would like to.
And that sounds amazing, to be able to have your day how you want to build your day. I was going to ask too. So when you're just someone listening and they're like, oh, how do you build a program for your clients, you have so many, like, how do you go about doing that for your clients, like building them a program catered to their needs and limitations?
Yes. So first of all, when I do calls with people to see if I'm able to help them, that's the biggest thing, because mm-hmm. some people are, you know, not in a place where somebody like me are able to help them as much as maybe a physical therapist would, mm-hmm. or, you know, depending on the person. But overall, once, you know, I kind of figure out, like, am I able to help this person? Then we kind of go into, you know, if they want to sign up for a program, then I really get a clear idea of their limitations and joint issues, if they have joint damage, where they need modifications, and all of that kind of bio information, if you will, or like biofeedback, I guess, and just learning the person and how their body works. And it is a little bit of a trial and error in the very beginning.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of, I mean, people can say one thing and then all of a sudden it's like, they don't mention like, oh, I can't do squats. And then you have like half squats in the program or a modified version of a squat. And then it's like, oh, by the way, I can't do that. So it's a little bit of a trial and error. But I really try to make sure that exercises work around the person's limitation. And I feel like a lot of the certifications that I've gotten and just the education that I've gathered and from my own experience, I'm able to figure out what are the best modifications. So that way people are able to strengthen the muscles that they need to strengthen without putting that pressure, that unnecessary pressure on their joints.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say are the skills that one would need to be a effective personal trainer?
I feel like people skills is like number one, and that can range from just being able to, you know, talk to people, being able to listen, understand, support people. All of that kind of encompasses, I feel like, what a good personal trainer should be like. And that's just like from my own experience. I've known trainers who are not very understanding at all, or maybe they don't even really care about their clients. So it's like you really have to care about the people that you are helping. That is the number one, first and foremost thing that I would say is how to be a good coach or a good personal trainer.
Absolutely. Then what would you say are some highlights of your career and what are some challenges? And you can start with either one.
I feel like a good highlight for me is being able to connect with more people. And not only do I get to connect with them on a level that, you know, I'm their trainer or their coach, but also I get to learn from them. Like, you are a big part of like who inspires me. Like, my clients inspire me every single day. So it's nice to have that kind of connection. I would say a challenge in just overall, I guess, being like a business owner, there's always going to be challenges. Like, nothing is 100% secure. So, I mean, there are like mindset challenges that go into that part of it. I think some challenges in terms of being a personal trainer in general are knowing who you can help and who you can't help, because obviously there are always going to be clients out there who, you know, say that they want to make a change, but then they just never, ever like take the action. And it kind of, a lot of times as a personal trainer, like, you can almost allow that to reflect on you as a trainer or a coach. And in reality, like, you can't force somebody to make the change, you know? So I feel like that is something I feel a lot of personal trainers deal with, for those challenges, and then just the business side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you talk about, like, talk about your business, please? So can you share like what that process was like to start your business, and then if there are like other challenges you want to share too, but just like if someone's interested in becoming a personal trainer and they're like, oh, I want to start my own business, like what was that process like for you?
It was very difficult at first. I was a completely different person when I started my business than who I am now.
Yeah.
I actually just kind of quit my in-person training job on a whim, and like because the management changed and it was just not the kind of place that I wanted to work at anymore.
Right.
And I kind of, you know, had a choice of either staying there or, you know, should I start my own coaching business or personal training business, which is something I'd always wanted to do, but I was too scared to make that leap. And thankfully, my boyfriend at the time, and now my fiance, was with me, and he really encouraged me to take that leap. So with that support, I feel like that's when I felt confident enough to actually go and do it. And at first I did train in person for a while at a gym that, or at another gym that I found. And I was just kind of like in a rut where I was not helping people with arthritis yet. I was very much just trying to get clients, basically, kind of like I was doing at the gym that I worked for, but now on my own. So I was basically doing the same thing. And I really didn't, not that I didn't enjoy it, but I just, it didn't fulfill me as much. And it took a lot of learning and growing. And I actually had a, or I got a business coach because I felt like I was in such a rut that I just didn't know how I was going to keep going with my business.
Okay.
And that's when I started signing clients who had arthritis. And once I got one client with arthritis and was helping her, I'm like, wow, this feels amazing. Like I get to connect this with this person on so many different levels, and I know exactly how to help them. And then more clients I had that I got with arthritis began appearing on the online side, and I kind of just jumped right into that. But it was scary because in that moment I was definitely in a place of scarcity, where I did not know if I did decide to jump into, you know, that specific niche, would I get a good response, you know, because you never know if people would want to work with you, if there's going to be that many people who would want to work with you. So that's pretty much how it happened.
Okay, cool. And I think that's a good point. I think you mentioned at the beginning too, like when you're, and I guess for this field, like finding a niche because you yourself have arthritis. So I'm sure like for people that want to work with you, it's like, oh, she can relate to what I'm dealing with as well. And you can see the results in your own life, like how you've gone through your fitness journey. So that's for anybody listening. Like, yeah, if you were like a former athlete and now you want to train former athletes, like that's a niche. You know, there's so many things out there for like finding your clientele. Can you talk about that too? I'm just thinking of questions that people may be asking, like as you're listening. How did you build your clientele? So like you said you started with in-person training and then you moved to people that have arthritis too. So like, how did you go out and find those people?
So I trained in person for a while, and then after COVID happened, that's kind of when I just started doing online. I started doing online coaching with my in-person clients because the gyms are all closed and everything. And at that point, like I started diving into like more content on Instagram and like reaching out to people and getting, you know, online clients that I didn't know in person. So when the gyms opened back up, I kind of decided, you know, I just want to stay online because I feel like this is going to be a lot better in general. And I feel like when it comes to finding your niche, it's very difficult sometimes, especially when you're just starting out, because as somebody, like as an online fitness coach, it's kind of, you start out just wanting clients. Like you don't really care who they are, what they need, what their background is. You just want clients.
Right. Yeah.
And it, so when you're in that place, it's very hard to like niche down and only take, you know, these specific clients because mm-hmm. this is what you specialize in. But once you are able to kind of not only like, I mean, I guess, yeah, like build content surrounding that and kind of gear like marketing towards that, and you're able to, you know, connect more with mm-hmm. the people that you want to help in that niche, then you're able to really dive in and become like what those people need.
Yeah, makes
sense. Did that answer your question? Feel like it's been a little tangent.
No, answer my question for sure. I think you're saying like you use social media to build your clientele. Yes. Cause I think when I'm trying to remember like how I connected with you. Like I know I found you on Instagram, just like in a long search. I feel like it's only you. And I think her name is Ashley that also trains people with arthritis.
Yeah.
So I feel like it was just the two of you that I saw. Like I saw a lot of posts and I just typed in like something arthritis, I'm sure, or ankylosing spondylitis, but I feel like I just found the two of you. But I want to say I found you because I like downloaded something or like bought your ebook and then you reached out to me. I think that's how it worked. But I was just thinking too, like it takes some, like you have to like obviously put forth the effort to, you know, you're seeing who's interacting with you on your page and you're like, let me reach out to them. And then I think from there we had the discovery call and here we are a year later. So it takes, like you said, people skills, but people skills also involve some cold calling, it sounds like, or cold outreach as well, which can be uncomfortable, but it's part of the, for you, especially when you're owning your own business, you have to build your clientele somehow. So that helps too, I'm sure, just being, putting yourself out there.
Yeah, it's kind of funny with cold outreach because a lot of people are kind of moving away from that because it's so like cringy to think about doing. But at the same time, that is pretty much how I like built an audience more so than anything else. And then once you have, you know, a good audience and you have people who are connecting with you, then it's just nurturing that.
Exactly. And the same thing, like anyone that creates content or that's same, like similar to what we do here in the podcast, we send out a lot of emails to people that have no idea who we are. And that's just how you build people up. Like, we know, I'm sure we've sent 1,000 emails at this point and maybe we get 10 people that listen, but it helps. You, like, you just never know who's going to be interested by what you're sharing. So, you know, it's awkward and it's weird because people don't know who you are, but that's where they get to know you, is when you just outreach. It's helped us a lot too. I was going to ask, when you go back to, you said you shadowed a personal trainer and a physical therapist, you said. Can you just go back like to the importance of shadowing? We try to highlight that a lot on the podcast, just please like talk to people or network with people before you just jump into something. Can you just go back to, you said you know, what you didn't like about the personal or, you know, physical therapist, things you did like, what you didn't like, and then, you know, how that impacted how you made your decision, your career decision for what you do now.
Yeah. So I did shadow physical therapist. I want to say, I almost said a physical therapy office, but that kind of was what it was because it seemed like, I mean, maybe it was just the vibe that I got when I was there, but it seemed like I was just kind of in the background and they didn't really like care to show me as much or as many things as maybe one would like to have been shown when they're shadowing. So maybe that was what like solidified my decision, but okay. I do remember just kind of following them around and them, you know, doing this like physical therapy, but the people that they were helping with physical therapy, not that, I mean, it's a really positive thing and it's a little bit similar to like what I do now, but at mm-hmm. the same time, a lot of those people aren't looking to develop any kind of fitness goals or like mm-hmm. reach any gotcha. Fitness goals or anything like that. A lot of those people are just trying to overcome an injury and that's it. And then mm-hmm. not really continue on with building strength after they're done with PT.
Gotcha.
So when I kind of, that kind of clicked along with just some other things. And when I was looking at like schooling and I was looking at how to become like a physical therapist and what school should I go to? It was kind of a mix of all of that, that kind of changed my decision.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was kind of doing a lot more research on personal training and I had started like going to a gym and mm-hmm. watching the personal trainers train, it was nice to kind of realize that that's what I wanted to do.
Cool. I love that. I love that a lot because I think back to my own when I was in college and I knew I wanted to be a physical therapist, but I did not do any of that training or shadowing. So, you know, I grew up an athlete, so I spent time with trainers and some PTs, but didn't really like get into what they did. So I just was like, oh, well, it sounds cool. I didn't shadow. I didn't really like do the research. And so that's probably why when I got to my second class in college, I was like, no, I don't want to do this. But I wish I would have done more because I feel like I would have enjoyed something in that fitness or therapy realm, but I just didn't do my research. So that's something that we harp on a lot here is just do your research. If you can shadow, and a lot of places are open to shadow, like having students or anybody shadow them really, because I think you made a great point. Like, how can you really know what you like and what you don't like if you don't go out and see it? So I wanted you to just reiterate that point that it's important to go see what you could be doing if you entered into that field.
Yeah. And I feel like when I was first thinking about or like seriously considering being a physical therapist, I had just gotten diagnosed with RA. So in my mind, I'm like, oh, I want to help other people with arthritis, like mm-hmm. their fitness goals and like be active. And there's not a job for that. Really. Mm-hmm. Like there's not, you know, gyms aren't posting ads on Indeed, like hiring a personal trainer that specializes in people with arthritis. Maybe some are, but I could not find any. So that's when I kind of realized, like, well, let me be a personal trainer. And then I am now, like, I kind of created my dream job, which is kind of nice.
I love that. No, I think that's amazing. My last question for you is if there's someone listening that wants to be a personal trainer, what's your advice? I know this is a broad question, but what's your advice to them?
I would say number one is always continue learning and growing. You're never going to know everything. Nobody knows everything. It is okay to not know things. Like, it's okay to ask other people in network and ask for help. Like, I know physical therapists on Instagram or like occupational therapists, and sometimes I reach out to them for help because of a specific problem that a client has encountered or, you know, something like that. So just always be open to learning and not thinking that you have to know everything in order to get clients.
Right,
But also, like, be resilient in your purpose and finding who you want to help too. Like, who are the people that you deeply care about and resonate with, whether it's somebody who is obese and wants to lose weight to be like healthier with or for their like family and friends, or if it's somebody who, like you said before, like was a former athlete and wants to, you know, get back into fitness that way. Like, find who you resonate the most with.
That's perfect. I like the cherry on top. That's great advice. So yeah, if you're listening and you want to be a personal trainer, you just got a whole lot of great information. And can you just shout out, Megan, your social media, your business, and we'll put in the show notes too, but can you just shout it out, please?
So I am on Instagram at itsmegs_fitness with two Z's. And that's where I post a lot of my content and education and tips, all of that fun stuff. And I also run my own one-on-one coaching program called Get Fit with Arthritis. And that's where I go in and help women who deal with chronic joint pain issues and obviously arthritis be able to get fit or just be able to take their lives back through not only working out, but also nutrition and mindset and all of the things that encompass our well-being.
Very cool. Thank you. And like I mentioned, everyone, I'm a testament to what Megan does. So she's helped me a lot. I think we've been working together for a year now. And she's helped me a whole lot. So definitely check her out. Whether you have arthritis, chronic pain or not, it's just really great. She does put great content out there. And yeah, if you're someone who's interested in becoming a personal trainer, there's so many out there. So you have one now that you can go follow and learn from. And I'm sure there's so many others out there that can teach you some things as well. So thank you, Megan, for being on here. We appreciate it.
So grateful for you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. And thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of Your Advisors Will See You Now. You know where to find us on Instagram and TikTok. It's Yawson Podcast. And if you want to email us, so we're doing career chats. If you want to hear of other careers, please let us know. You can send us an email. Email, social media are going to be in the show notes. Also, the Magic Mind information, if you want to purchase anything from them and try them out, that will also be in the show notes. So thank you for supporting us. We appreciate it as always, and we'll see you in the next one. Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening to the latest episode of Your Advisors Will See You Now. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media pages and check out our website. Take a look at the show notes below.
And please make sure to subscribe and share this podcast. Also, show us some love and please leave a 5-star review. Catch you next time.
See ya.